This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. And I am your host, Michael W. Dean, the, oh, Ben, what's my wrestling name? I can't remember.
the wild hamster?
The iron hamster. Yep. And then we got Ben Stone, the, what are you today?
The bearded possum
coming from rural somewhere with his wife driving around the country in a van solving mysteries. And from sunny Acapulco, Mexico. Is that correct, Jeff?
That is correct,
sir. We have Jeff Berwick. How you doing, Jeff?
Good.
Good.
I'm the wild badger today.
Cool. We did not get much time to sound check. So, Jeff, can you get a little bit back off your mic or turn the input down just a tiny
sure.
bit?
Because how's that?
That's excellent. That's excellent. Perfect. Okay, Jeff Berwick runs the Dollar Vigilante blog and the Anarchast podcast and video series on YouTube. He is an interesting cat. We don't usually do a lot of interviews. People always write me and say, you should interview this libertarian blah, 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 because he's interesting. And I'm like, no, he's not. But Jeff Berwick is interesting, and nobody told me to interview him. I wanted to interview him. This is a cat who knows a lot about a couple subjects that, well, a lot of subjects, but a couple subjects that are of very dear interest to a lot of our radio and podcast listeners. One of those is investing, and the other is expatting. Investing, you know, this guy's done pretty well to going back to the dot-com days, and maybe longer. We'll get into that with him, but I don't know. I'll just come out and say it. The guy recently maybe lost $500,000 in an investment, and he's kind of irked about it, but it didn't break him. So he's that kind of investor. And we're going to talk about that thing and about recovering from that and about everything else about how to invest. And of course, your mileage may vary, investments, blah, 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 risks. He's not selling any particular thing. But take all investment knowledge with this is not legal advice. This is not investing advice. And buyer beware. And what else do they say, Jeff? There's like 20 paragraphs with that stuff.
Yeah, just don't be stupid.
There you go. And he's also an expatter. You know, they say, if you don't love America, get out. And he got out, but he's not even American. He's from Canada and lives, you know, wherever they won't steal the most of his money. And he likes being. So, Jeff, tell us really briefly, like, thumbnail bio of you. Like, if your Wikipedia page were actually up to date and accurate, what would you say in two or three paragraphs?
Well, I would first say I don't know who keeps hacking my Wikipedia page, but I've just given up trying to stop them from doing it. So yeah. I don't even know what's there anymore. generally, I was, yeah, you're correct. I was born in Canada and went on a wild ride that I'm still on. I'm still enrolled in the School of Hard Knocks. I've been up and down and all around and still going. And that's sort of the point.
And you've also got an event coming up called Anarchapuco. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this is something I'm really excited about. Like, literally, I hate that word literal because they've changed that now to mean it's not literal. I'm really excited about it. It's going to be a really fun event. We're going to have an Acapulco. It's going to be a bunch of anarchists, anarcho-capitalists, people who believe in freedom. And actually just got contacted today by another band from Mexico. It seems to... The one thing I can say, Michael, is that that saying, "When if you build it, they will come," is totally true. So I just started this. I just started talking about it, and it's just creating itself right now.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of like, oh, let's say, you know, I think someone who, you know, for the radio listeners, I think somebody who is a businessman, not that it's just for investors or just for business people, but, you know, who might want to look at a lot of people on radio listen, you know, there's a lot of ads and there's a lot of talk about like the pending collapse of the United States government, you know, the pending collapse of America, martial law, blah, blah, blah. You know, maybe if you can afford to, which doesn't take necessarily riches, you know, just owning a house or something, if you can afford to and you live in America and you're stockpiling weapons and water for the coming collapse, you might just want to get a passport and be willing to go somewhere else temporarily or permanently until it blows over, or just, you know, find your island paradise. Would you say that's accurate?
I'd say it's more than accurate. I think I talk to a lot of Americans, and, you know, I'm sort of from Canada. I've lived all over the world, so I'm sort of talking to them from an outside perspective. And so many people just have never even left the U.S. If they leave the U.S., they go to some sort of all-inclusive resort in Mexico, and they never even meet Mexican people, really. There's a big world out there, and I think the U.S. is unfortunately going the wrong way dramatically right now, and a lot of other places are going the right way, more or less. There's no perfect place. So, yeah, definitely get out there and check it out.
Yeah, you live in Acapulco, but you don't live in some resort on the beach where you never see the local people. You live in an apartment building that's, you know, are you the only person not from Mexico who lives there?
Well, actually, I'm living in a house right now, but I do sort of have condos in an apartment building. And yeah, there's very few Americans here, which is one of the sort of nice things about it. it's mostly a Mexican tourist destination.
You look, we're looking at you on video. This will be put up later, probably without us on video, because I'm not that interesting on video. And the view out your window looks like you're on like the 40th floor of a condo, you know, high rise, or are you just in a house on a hill?
I'm in a house on a hill. Yeah. Okay. The Acapulco is surrounded. It's the second most beautiful destination I've ever been to. Rio is the number one. It's literally a giant bay surrounded by mountains, and it's always green and it never rains. It's quite an incredible place.
Somebody asked me, can they go to Anarchapuco from America if they don't have a passport?
Yes, you can, actually. I've only driven across the border once or twice, the Tijuana, maybe more than that, three or four times, actually. I've walked a few times and driven a few times. When you drive across from San Diego to Tijuana, there's really no one there. They don't care. Like, I walked through once on the Tijuana border, and I was just curious what they were doing. There was a couple guys in the back there playing cards, and I said, "Do you guys want to see anything?" I was just curious, and they went, "No, what do we care? Like, just go where you want."
pretty good for government work, just playing cards and getting paid and not doing what you're supposed to do. Yeah. Nima Vidati had similar experiences, I think, going there. So tell me a little bit more about Anarchapuco. What's the website for it? I can't spell Acapulco or anarchy. So what is it?
Yeah, I've started to realize that the name is a little difficult, but it is anarchacapulco.com. I didn't realize it at the time, but it is a little hard. I might have to change that or something.
Well, you could just get an easier URL. You were having trouble with that. You could get an easier URL and just point it to the same site. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll think about that a little bit. We haven't even announced we're having it, but already so many people are coming, so we're going to have it.
I'm announcing it. What are the dates?
It's going to be February 27 to March 1st.
Ben Stone, are you going to be there?
I'm doing everything possible within reason to make those arrangements. I've actually applied for my passport, because I don't want to take any chances of I tend to draw attention when I go into places that I, you know.
You look like a biker. You are a biker.
Yeah, so yeah. I
look like a troublemaker.
if I can have all my ducks in a row when I cross the border, I would certainly prefer that. We're talking about leaving the motorhome behind, because trying to come back across the border into the U.S. with the motorhome
might be a little hard.
Yeah, that could be tricky.
They'll take it apart into 700 pieces and lay it out in a parking lot, and
that's what
and
I'm
then
afraid
let you
of.
Put it back together. Probably
even though there's no possible way I would ever, you know, use it to smuggle anything anywhere, I still just don't. I try to avoid that kind of conflict whenever possible. Plus, I don't handle conflict very well. So, you know, I tend to get mouthy and stuff. So so we're going to try to be as under the radar as possible and get down there and back.
So, Jeff, is it safe living in Mexico? A lot of people are like, well, won't you get kidnapped and beheaded?
Oh, the propaganda is immense. Every day on Facebook, just yesterday, I was watching Adam Kokesh, and he's like, well, I'm going to have to go to some place, and these people are going to decide if I'm going to be in a cage for 15 years or not for just loading a shotgun for a activist video on YouTube in Washington, D.C. This happens all the time in the U.S. Down here, I actually consider it much, much safer. I actually really rarely go to the U.S. And when I go to the U.S., a lot of my Mexican friends all worry about me. They say, hey, be careful up there. It's really dangerous. There's giant gangs up there, like way bigger than cartels, called the government and the police. And I've been in handcuffs many times. It's very it's totally not dangerous in Mexico. I don't know what anyone's talking about.
Wow. That is that's so different than what you see on the news here. But, you know, I think it was, of all people, Malcolm X, who said something like, you know, if you read the papers, you'll end up, you know, hating the people who are victims and loving the people who are victimizing them.
That's totally correct. And when I watch the U.S. news, that's exactly what happens every single day.
Yeah. So how long have you lived in Mexico?
Off and on for about 6 years.
Wow. Do you maintain residences in any other countries?
Yes, I do. I'm a resident citizen of a Caribbean country just for mostly tax reasons, so I don't have to pay extortion fees. But I live sort of this permanent traveler, prior taxpayer sort of lifestyle. So I really haven't paid taxes or legally don't have to pay taxes for the last almost 10 years now.
I like that you didn't even say the name of the country, and I'm not going to ask you to. You know, I joke about being in an undisclosed location, but you really do live in several undisclosed locations.
Yeah, I've sort of mentioned where I'm also a citizen and resident of a few times, but I'm a little careful about it because there is people watching us, as you know. It used to be crazy. We used to say this all the time 5 years ago, and everyone thought we were crazy, and now everyone knows that everything we're saying and doing is being watched by the U.S. government. So I'm a little more careful now, but I'm still pretty much out there. Like, I always disclose where I am. I'm in Acapulco. I'll put up my GPS. If I get droned, please wake up and start doing something. This is getting pretty close to really bad at this point.
I think that's why I don't like doing video chats, because even though, you know, it doesn't really give any more information to the government, I just feel like it's bugging my own home, whereas audio, I don't feel that way. We'll be back with more with Jeff Berwick on the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the free market.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Ross Ulbricht was arrested by the FBI in 2013 and charged with victimless crimes in relation to allegedly operating the Bitcoin-based Silk Road black market. He has been in a prison cell awaiting trial ever since. If he did it, he's a hero for making the black market a safer place. If he did not, he's a man wrongfully accused. Either way, if you love freedom and want to end the war on drugs, Ross and his family need your support. You can learn more and help fund his defense at FreeRoss.org. That's FreeRoss.org.
So Jeff Berwick, hanging out, having some conversation, talking about stuff. So, Jeff, you have you were involved in a program that was essentially sort of a getaway from the collapsing market and everything, getaway from all the collapsing problems that are going on, to a place called Galt's Gulch in the country of Chile. And there's been a little bit of controversy about that, and I think a lot of confusion. How about if you just give us kind of an outline of what Galt's Gulch is, and what the plan was, and what went wrong, and what you're doing about it?
Sure, I'd love to. Thank you very much. First of all, I've recognized also Galt's Gulch is really hard to pronounce. Anarchapoco Galt's Gulch. My problem is that I just type everything and I never say it out loud. And so anyway, a bad name. But what it really was about 2 years ago, I started I live outside of the U.S. or outside of the Western world. And a lot of people want to as well, but they don't know how to do it. They've never really done it before. So I'm trying to help. That's what we're here sort of to do, as far as I can tell. And we started a place called Galt's Gulch. Unfortunately, I sort of partnered with the devil, and it's just been a semi-disaster so far. The good part is that literally hundreds of people, really good people, have gravitated to it and invested or bought in it. And we're trying to, at this very moment in time, as we speak, we're really just battling. It's almost, it seems biblical to me because I'm involved in it day to day, but it's a real battle just to get this one person who's not a freedom-minded person. He lied. He said he was. I stupidly fell for it. I think he's sociopathic. He's just trying to destroy people's lives. And I think we're going to win. I think good always wins, but it's not going to be easy. And that's what I'm involved in right now, is just trying to regain control of something that I essentially started and got taken away from me.
I did an article a couple of years ago called Mimics in the Garden of Liberty, talking about how susceptible we tend to be, people who think in along the liberty lines, because we, you know, our message is so simple and it's so basic. You know, we don't want to aggress on anyone else, and we just expect that back in return. And it's so easy for a mimic to come in among us and learn a few basic terminologies and phrases and so forth, and they sound really good. And then, you know, then they get you. I compared it. There's a deep sea fish that's really nasty looking, that has a big mouth with like razor sharp teeth. And it has this appendage that sticks out of its forehead, and it kind of looks like a big worm. And it just holds really still and wiggles that appendage in front of its mouth until another fish comes up close. And then it springs out and gobbles that fish down. And there are people in, you know, I don't even like to use the word liberty movement. That's not very pleasing to me. But there are people in liberty that I think are exactly that. They are mimics. They just sit around and wait for the opportunity to, you know, to take a big bite out of somebody.
Yes, it's very surreal for me to hear you say that, because that's exactly what I've been thinking for the last 24 hours. I've really been spending a lot more time just thinking and figuring out what's going on. And what my thoughts were just the other day, yesterday, was that any movement, I think, like, and I don't like to use that word either. I don't like anything collectivized. But, you know, if you think about, like, people are passionate about one thing, they all kind of get together, which makes sense. But then they're very open to someone taking advantage of them, because they have these conceived notions. And this is what happened to me. This person said, oh, I'm a libertarian too, Ron Paul, blah, blah, blah. And I went, oh, so I can trust him. No. And this is one thing I really want to get across, and I'm so glad we have this platform to do it. If you are sort of like the bad Quaker, Ben Stone or Michael Dean, or like myself, or like similar to us, be very aware that we actually are better than everyone else, but because we're morally sound and morally correct and we don't aggress against others. But that actually leaves us very vulnerable to being taken advantage of. And that's one thing that I'd like to just get across to everybody, is just be aware that there's going to be people trying, and we're seeing it right now, the libertarian name is being totally co-opted by Glenn Beck and Bill Maher. From, you know, Glenn Beck's a neocon, Bill Maher's a liberal. They all say they're libertarian now because it's pretty cool. And it actually is really cool, but they're trying to change the words. That we will always be attacked. And that's something actually you, as Ben, as a Quaker, probably understand.
Yeah, and we're going to get into a little bit more on Gulch. When we get back from this little trip to the market.
Next time you want to name something, run it by me, Jeff. I'm pretty good at that.
Yeah, I'll say it out loud at least once next time.
Picture it on a t-shirt.
Listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone proof.
What sets Survival Punk apart from all those other survivalist sites? A rational, creative approach to self-reliance. Applying a punk DIY ethic to survivalism without any of the fear-mongering or tinfoil hattery that pervades the survivalist movement. Survival Punk covers a huge range of topics, along with a healthy bit of myth-busting. Survival Punk provides a ton of dirt-cheap creative solutions to common prepping problems, with an accent on the paleo lifestyle. Check out survivalpunk.com. That's survivalpunk.com.
Looking for a new home with good neighbors, no income tax, an active shooting culture with excellent Second Amendment protections, a great business climate, and less government? then Wyoming might just be the place for you. And freedom-minded folks are already there. Founded by author Kenneth Royce, FreeStateWyoming.org encourages free trade, political liberty, and voluntary cooperation. Come bask in the laissez-faire Western culture of the cowboy state. For details, visit FreeStateWyoming.org.
This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend. Talking to Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker.
I like that bass line on that song, by the way.
Thank you. I built that. And we're talking to Jeff Berwick. Ben Stone, my good friend. I met Jeff Berwick, our full show interviewee today, at Porkfest with Ben Stone in Ben Stone's mobile underground command unit. And he's a good guy, and he's the real deal. I've had a lot of communication with him. I'm doing some consulting for him, and he is a good guy. He is the real deal. And we're talking about mimics who are not the real deal in what Ben calls the Liberty Mission, which I like better than the Liberty Movement, because Liberty Movement has double entendres, and mission is not collective, it's personal. It's I'm on a mission, you can be on a mission too, to spread liberty. And one thing the three of us have in common, I think, is that that makes us more effective than some people at this, is that we're not trying to quit our day job, we're not trying to make a living at this. And I recommend anybody who's doing Liberty Media to not try to quit your day job, because then you have more integrity. You can do what you want to do. You can say what you want to say. You know, I've been on a tear this last week on someone I consider a Liberty mimic. And, you know, I've lost money over it a little bit, not much, but I've had a few people say, I'm leaving and not donating anymore. Although I've had a couple people quit donating to that guy and donate at me as a boycott. But, you know, if you don't try to make your living at Liberty Media, you can do whatever you want, and I think that's a good idea. And the other Liberty mimic that Liberty mimic I was talking about has not addressed any of the accusations that thousands of people are throwing at him. Whereas I respect this about Jeff Berwick, he's not a Liberty mimic; he's the real deal, and he is addressing. You know, he's not hiding; he's not saying, "Oh, I don't." So there was this thing, this investment in South America of a, you know, LibPair or libertarian paradise called Gulch Gulch. And somebody maybe took the money and run. So I'm going to ask the name. Go. Who's the name of the guy, Jeff?
Well, let me first say we're not sure what's happened. It's been so secretive, but we're trying to find out what's happened. And it is my fault for not pushing this earlier. His name is Ken Johnson, and he's a sociopath. And if I told you some stories, you wouldn't even believe them about him. I've learned so much about sociopaths the last couple of years. And I know what you're going to bring up, because we talked about it off air. I've heard from a few people, and totally understandably, that people are letting me off too easy. And I totally understand that. I was actually quite surprised. I wrote a thing about a week ago called Penance. And I wrote it pretty much wondering if I was going to kill myself before I finished it. And I tried not to drink too much while I wrote it. And I just tried to put my heart out there. And I hit enter. And I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know if people are going to just burn me at the stake for letting this go on too long with this problems or not. And the response was almost 100% love, which was beautiful. But now we're starting to hear from a few people, and I totally understand. I was surprised as well that no one was really even criticizing me after that. I think there is room for criticism here for sure, and I'm not trying to hide from it. And the people who really are sort of criticizing a little bit, though, I just want to say they don't know what's been going on. The reason you haven't heard from the investors or buyers at Gulch Gulch too much, except for Wendy McElroy, who I love and I admire, and I publish her writings on our site. She's been around for about 40 years battling for liberty. Other than that, you haven't really heard from too many people, negative or positive. And the reason is because the people who are involved know what's going on, and we are fighting this right now. This is an actual real battle that has taken a lot out of me, and I'm still battling, and I'm not going to give up, and we're going to keep fighting. But yes, I totally understand people are angry about this, and they should be even angrier. But it's really actually kind of beautiful at the same time that a lot of people kind of understand what's going on, and a lot of anarchists or libertarians are I like how they are. If they don't know what's going on, they're not going to say too much. You know, like the mainstream media, they'll always like, here's an issue, and everyone has got an opinion. Freedom-minded people are a little bit more thinking, and if I don't know what's going on, I'm not going to say anything. I don't have an opinion, and I respect that.
Well, I agree with that overall compared to, you know, maybe the general population, but I do know that some people who, you know, maybe haven't been out in the world very long say, if you use any courts or government force, you're a horrible person. Mm. I would say that's true in things that don't have a real victim, like, you know, having opinions on the internet. But when we're talking about millions of dollars that somebody...
Actual property.
Yeah, actual property and an actual, possibly an actual, an alleged actual crime... you don't have a lot of recourse. You know, you can either hire the Bitcoin assassin or you can go to the courts, and you are going to the courts, right?
Yes. And I do want to explain that. And I do actually want some feedback on this from both of you or your listeners or anybody. I'm trying to find a way to get this resolved as ungovernmentally as possible. But it turns out, and I've learned this over the last few years, that we still have these governments and we still have these courts that we are supposed to use. And if we don't use them, then now we're the aggressor. If we don't use those courts and we just try to solve things through our own mechanisms, it's very difficult. And I've never actually sued anyone or used a lawyer for anything aggressive, only defensive. And even in this case, I haven't been the person leading up the legal attack. It's actually been the buyers and investors. But I totally understand there's in this world, unfortunately, at this moment in time, there's just no... For example, if I just went down and killed Ken Johnson, I'd be in jail in Chile for the rest of my life. That's pretty much for sure. And that doesn't solve anything. So we have to deal within the restraints of our current world. And unfortunately, it usually involves having to go to the government's courts and use their systems. Because if you don't, then it flips everything on you, and all of a sudden you're the aggressor. So, yeah, it's very difficult for libertarians at this moment in time to do the right thing. For example, we've seen a few people, for example, Tesla, the person who runs that just said, I'm not going to use patents. That was great. I thought that was beautiful. Overstock.com is going to list his company on a cryptocurrency exchange. So people are starting to get outside the system, but we're not quite there yet. So we still have to sort of wrangle with these two worlds that are sort of colliding at this moment in time.
Yeah, like I use – I mean, this is a much smaller case, but I use a Creative Commons license on everything I do, which basically – and now it's at the top of our website. It basically says you can take our stuff. You can do whatever you want with it as long as you spell our name right, you can, and use our name. You can do anything you want with it, which includes, you know, criticizing or anything except misrepresenting, you know, and saying I said something I didn't. But that is – in conjunction with copyright law. And some no government people have been like, you're using government for this. But the thing is, it's a kind of a compromise that I'm happy with of being in the existing framework, in that anybody who answers to a board of directors or anything like that can't use something. They don't have any legal understanding of it. If you just put no copyright or F copyright or whatever, that doesn't have a legal meaning. But Creative Commons has an absolute legal meaning that lawyers can understand. So if we make, you know, a software product like MeowBit or FiendPhone and we want the widest adoption possible, that would include, like, you know, say somebody doing a Linux distribution and putting it in a commercial like Red Hat software or something like that. And, or that's a bad example. I don't know if they do Creative Commons or not, but, you know, a GNU public license. So, you know, if somebody wants to put it in a distribution of something else and it's someone who runs a company, it has to have a GNU public license or Creative Commons on it for text and video and audio, or they can't use it. They don't, you know, their board of directors don't know how to deal with it. And, it hurts a lot of armchair libertarians who live in their mother's basement or, you know, are recently out and, you know, trying to support themselves. They don't understand when you say things like, yeah, I would use a patent defensively to keep someone from patenting my invention and suing me for it because I want to give it away. Yeah. it basically comes down to, like, you know, people who haven't interfaced with the world a lot. And I'm amazed too how a lot of people don't understand how the courts work. I mean, we had one of our co-hosts is an attorney, and the other day I asked him on the show, if you were arrested for something serious, would you hire another attorney or represent yourself? And he said, I'd absolutely hire another attorney. Here's why, blah, blah, blah. And one of the comments from, you know, an intelligent fan of ours, a guy I've talked to, said, I had no idea that you do better in court with an attorney than you do representing yourself. That was jaw-dropping to me.
It's quite sad, actually, when you think about it. Everyone should represent themselves. That's what the system does. Is it takes, you know, you have to have someone represent you, which makes, you know, Ben Stone could probably talk about this a little bit from the spiritual aspect, but you are your own person, and to have someone represent you really is just doesn't make any sense to someone who really believes they own themselves.
Well, you're saying in a practical sense, right, I mean, you're saying in a moral sense, not a practical sense, right?
In today's world, right.
You're not going to represent yourself in court on this.
Actually, I would. If I ever... I've never been sued. I've never been, nothing. I've never gone to a court. But if I did, I actually would represent myself, and I'd probably be in a cage for a while. I just stand on my own. I would not let someone represent me.
Well, that's the thing, too. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding in the libertarian community of people who won't take a plea, or, you know, absolute won't even listen to one, or will only represent themselves in court. They don't.
Yeah, I should just say, just briefly, I've never done it. So maybe if I was facing, like, Adam Kokesh yesterday, 15 years in jail, maybe I'd change. You don't know until you get there, but that's what I think I would do. But
well,
you never know.
I think that people who are wanting to do that should understand the difference between two possible outcomes of, are they trying to fight the man and willing to do some time for it, in which case maybe represent yourself? Or are you trying to get the least amount of damage possible to you and get out, you know, relatively unscathed to fight another day? Then you probably want an attorney. And also, and this is not legal advice, but this is something attorneys have told me, you know, of course you'd say, well, yeah, they're trying to get you to hire attorneys. But a lot of times people who represent themselves in court will have if they can afford it, will have an attorney to consult. Because in court, like, most people don't even know what the process is. Like, there's specific ways you have to present things. And if you don't do that, you're going to get, you know, crunched by the judge the first day. You know, if you're trying to, like, object to things that you can't object to, things like that. I think people have this, like, movie vision in their mind of what courts are like. And it includes a lot of how it should be, which is not how it is. We'll be back with more with Jeff Berwick after this trip to the free market on the Freedom Fiends.
Listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
When I found the Free State Project, I knew it was the key to achieving liberty in my lifetime. It's awesome to be surrounded by like-minded, freedom-loving activists who've moved here to New Hampshire. From politics to civil disobedience, we have it all. Where I came from, it felt that no matter what I did, liberty was dying. Perhaps you feel the same way? Call 888-377-2515 now to learn more about the Free State Project. That's 888-377-2515 or visit freestateproject.org.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
This is the Freedom Fiends with Jeff Berwick, all Jeff, all the time today for 2 hours, and Ben Stone, the bad Quaker. And so, Jeff Berwick, what did you say to Stefan Molyneux, and what did he say back to you?
Well, I know we only have 5 minutes here, and I don't really want to get too much into it. I really respect Stefan for what he's done for the freedom mission, as I now call it, thanks to you guys. Yeah, so you see how things, thoughts actually go viral. And so anyway, so it's the Freedom Mission. And he's gotten into a little bit of a, it's sort of like a bad month for anarchists this month. He sort of, it appears that he said a few things that might not be totally true on Joe Rogan's show. And I really like Joe Rogan, by the way. I think he's a thinker, and I like that. And he's never really come out front with it. And I told him, actually, right off the bat, just like what I do with Golf Skulls, just get out there. And if you did something wrong, just say it. That there's nothing worse than not saying that. You just let it linger and there's a problem. And so he didn't. And then I said, I forget what exactly what I said. I think you remember better than me, Michael.
Something like get back to the basics and quit going off on all these tangents and just talk about liberty.
Yeah, that's what I said. I was, you know, it was late and I had just gone through a whole day of dealing with garbage. And I just saw quickly that people were attacking him. And I just thought I would send that thought out to him. And he wrote me back and he said, when you're number one on iTunes, let me know. And he totally burned me on that because he's got literally hundreds of millions of views on YouTube. And he's done so much for the mission that he totally got me on that one. I admit it.
He's number one on iTunes for the term anarchy.
Oh, I don't know, but I just know he's got hundreds of millions of views and listens, and I've got maybe a million or two, so I can't talk.
So for somebody who claims that their whole thing is based on logic and reason and everything, that's entirely illogical. That's not even remotely a logical defense of something. I'm right because I'm the biggest.
Yeah, I mean, you know, war is popular. Obama is popular.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
That's like
no.
saying Obama is right because he's president.
Dumping ice on your head seems to be popular.
Yeah. No. I totally agree with that statement. I agree that Stefan he can say that, and I have to back down because he's right that he's got way more viewers or listeners than me. But you're right as well, Ben. That is not a and Stefan Molyneux would say that himself. That's not an argument. But I think
it's a kindergarten argument.
I think we were just having some fun on Facebook is really what it is.
I have more friends than you. Neener, neener, neener. Okay, so on to something serious. Back to the Gulch Gulch thing and this guy running it, disappearing with a bunch of money or not. What did he do? Well, would you say he ripped you and other people off?
What I would say is that as far as I understand, it appears he's completely ripped me off. And I was stupid for not recognizing it earlier. And it appears at this moment in time, and this every day I'm learning more, we're really just finally getting to find out what's going on. It appears he's really gone full evil, full devil right now, and he's really just trying to destroy this community. And I don't mean that lightly. It really is. And I've read up on sociopaths for the last year because of this, and he fits every description, and he just doesn't care about other people, and he's just trying to just destroy people's lives, and he doesn't care.
Okay, the really big question, and I hope this doesn't make you uncomfortable, but apparently you encouraged people to invest in this. If you and them can't be made whole through private arbitration or through the courts with this guy, are you willing to do anything to help make those people whole?
Yeah, absolutely. I can't deal with first of all, I just want to say I did promote this project, but as soon as I recognized there was problems, I just stopped talking. The thing that I didn't do was say something. You know, Janet Yellen or whoever, say if you see something, say something. It was very complicated. There was a number of investors, number of buyers. They all fell for the ruse, and they asked me not to say anything. And I said, well, okay, if you keep moving it forward, you put things in place, but it never happened. So finally, a few months ago, everyone just said, yeah. And so, yes, I'm going to work the rest of my life if I have to make this right.
That's excellent and very honorable. And we will be back in hour two with the Right Honorable Jeff Berwick. I like giving anarchists government titles just as a joke, but because it irks them, like calling Ben Stone a great man. And a very interesting conversation with Jeff Berwick. Thank you for your service. Yeah, I'm trying to make that spread too, saying it to non-military people. And we will be back for hour two in a few minutes after this trip to the free market.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolfe. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Freedom Fiends on the radio, on your radio. This is Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster of Liberty, talking to Ben Stone, the, what are you, Ben?
The bearded possum.
The bearded possum.
And Michael, have you been contacted by the government?
I've not been contacted by the government. I am safe. And we're talking to Jeff.
You're not safe.
I have the illusion of safety. I have safety theater in my windowed bunker. So we're talking to Jeff Berwick from Anarchast. And what is your website? Where can people find you on the web?
The main place is dollarvigilante.com.
Dollarvigilante.com. Another word I can't spell. Vigilante. Okay.
I know.
Run it by me.
In Mexico, so I speak all day in Spanish. And I write all day in English, but I never really speak English except for in interviews like this. And yeah, same with Dollar Vigilante, Anarcopoco, Galtz Gulch.
Next time you want to name,
I never say them out loud.
Next time you're going to name something, drop me an email first and give me your.
Well, we should actually speak over the
there you go.
Skype.
We should.
If it's an email, it'll be too.
We should
say
it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just say it a few times.
Okay.
The Dollar Vigilante is a really good website.
It is.
I've been going there for years.
It's about expatting, which is choosing your nationality or your residency like you'd choose your phone company instead of. I must stay here because I was born here. And I really think that you should be able to choose your nationality or your location as easy as you can choose your phone company. We were joking about that previously. And, we were talking about how in a libertarian paradise, you'd probably get bothered with telemarketers during dinner. Have you considered Liechtenstein? All right. So Jeff is from Canada, lives in Acapulco, maintains residences in a few other countries. Now, here's the thing. I want to say why you should listen to this guy. You might have been listening to the last episode, the last segment, and said, why should I listen to this guy on investing advice? He just lost $500,000. That's why you should listen to him, because he just lost $500,000. And it's not like it ain't no thing, but it's he still, has his standard of living after making one bad investment in his life like that. He's doing better than most people who give financial advice on the radio. I actually had someone about a year ago who wanted to come on and never heard of him, said, I have this book on investment advice. I want to be on your show. And I'm like, well, we don't have any slots coming up right now. I have a bunch of stuff slated. I could maybe put it in later, but I could sell you some ad time, at $300 a month for a 30-second ad every day. And he's like, oh, I can't afford that, but I could trade you some investing advice for it. And it's not – I don't do pay for play. Like, I'm not charging Jeff to be on here. I have him on here because I want him on here. But just the fact that that guy couldn't afford $300 ads for his book – told me he was a bad investor. He's not someone who should be giving investment advice if he doesn't have, if he's not fluid to the point of being able to spend $300 on his business. Okay, so we have Jeff on here, a guy who has been investing since probably the dot-com era or previously, who, you know, is living the dream. He owns houses in multiple countries, and if you don't, you should probably listen to what he has to say. So, Jeff, give me the thumbnail sketch of where you came from, you know, socioeconomically, and how you got to where you are now.
Sure. You brought up so many interesting points. I grew up in a very lower middle class family in Canada in the 1970s. And back then, it's changed a lot since then. It's actually become a lot better in general. It was heavily socialist. It's almost like the Soviet Union back in the 1970s. So we really didn't have much at all. But we had enough to survive. And I would say that I'm not really an investor. And I don't think a lot of people should be investors in the terms of putting your saving up money, making money, and then investing in someone else is not for most people. And it's not even for me. Most of the money that I've made in my life has been my own investing myself and my own businesses.
Nice.
That's a much better way to go about it. If you're listening to this right now and you've never invested and you've got $5,000 or $10,000 in your bank account, which will be worthless in a couple of years, don't be like listening for, oh, I'm going to tell you a stock ticker symbol and you're going to be rich. No, that's no. you got to educate yourself. There's no easy way to anything. And that's really what I've learned over my life is that if you've never done anything before, you should just get out and do it small at first and learn. And that's the investment. And the rest from there comes fairly easily.
So you came from what you described as a lower middle class Canadian family, right?
Yeah, both my parents worked for the government. My dad worked for the government telephone agency, which has been privatized since then. So like I said, it's gotten a little better. And my mom was a nurse in the socialized medical destroying system in Canada. So yeah, we were pretty poor. Well, everything's relative. If you're talking to someone who's starving right now in some place in the world, we would seem very rich. But we really didn't have anything I ever had to, anything I ever wanted, I had to work for.
So you didn't miss meals, but you didn't get new clothes every season. Something like that?
Yeah, that's a good explanation. And the food that we got was basically macaroni and cheese and fried hamburger, which is fine. It's worked. I'm fine. And, my parents worked hard, but I respect that. I totally am grateful for that. But anything that I've ever had to do in my life, I've had to work for. And actually, just so you know, I have two kids right now, 7 and 9, and I would never give them anything. And I tell them that. So my daughter, who's 7 right now, if she wants an iPad app that costs $1, I go, well, I will buy that for you, but now you owe me $1. And her brain just starts cranking, like, how am I going to get $1? It's like, well, you better offer someone something they need and help people, and then you will get a return on that, which is called profit, which socialists or communists or Marxists say is bad. But that is actually a really good thing. In a free market system, profit is actually, in a truly free market system, someone who had a lot of wealth should be the most respected person around, because they've obviously given people so much throughout their life that they've received this wealth in return. But in today's world, of course, we have these bankers and government people who are all rich, and people go, I hate rich people. It's like, no, the system is wrong. It's not the profit that's bad. It's the system that's wrong.
So what was your first business? And was this before you discovered Liberty?
My first business, I believe, I delivered newspapers. That was probably my first job. I was a hockey referee. I grew up in Canada. I had probably dozens of jobs. I was a sewer worker for a summer. But my first real business, like real business, was probably this is going to sound funny to you, Michael, a music studio. Where I was exact same then as I was now. I didn't understand all these knobs and all this stuff, but I just understood enough to get the job done. And I had a little music studio in my apartment. That was my first real business. And I've just gone on from there. I quit my job at the bank in Canada in 1994, 95, 96 maybe. And I've never worked for anyone since.
Those were air quotes. You couldn't see him on the radio, but he didn't
work. Yeah, right. Air quotes. I've never worked, but in actuality, I work for people every day, my clients.
What is your business now?
Numerous different businesses. I'm an entrepreneur. But my main source of revenue is the Dollar Vigilante. We have thousands of subscribers. Many people, you would know their names, but I'm not going to invade their privacy. And then I write a lot about expatriating and different ways to invest, and I use air quotes again, invest in things, and people pay attention to it because I'm sort of, if I can say one thing about myself sort of positively, like I think I know that I'm good at one thing, it's sort of, I can kind of see what's going on before a lot of other people see it. And that's really one of the other skill that I think I have is I'm pretty good at gauging people. However, after Galt's Gulch, I'm totally rethinking everything that I ever thought because apparently I was totally wrong on one person. But, you know, you're always going to make mistakes. And but those are the two qualities that I think that I have to offer to people.
Excellent. What I know you had some involvement in the dot-com boom in the late 90s. What'd you do there?
Yeah, in 1993, I was a computer nerd way before the internet, when there was things called bulletin board systems. I was on like an Apple II Plus in 1980, and I saw where this was going. I knew this was the future, and I loved it. And when the internet first came out in 1993, when I first heard about it, after Al Gore invented it, of course, thank you so much, Al Gore, and thank you so much for everything you've done for climate science. So when I first saw the internet, I said, this is it. I just recognized it as like I've been waiting for this. And so I just I was interested in stocks and finance at the time, which I still am to an extent. And so I just started a site called stockhouse.com, which still to this day is the largest financial website in Canada. It's the equivalent of sort of marketwatch.com or the street.com, I guess, in the U.S. It rose to a high of $240 million at the peak in 2000. And a few months later, it was worth $1 or $2 million. And we had to hire and lay off hundreds of people during the process. And it was a learning experience. And that's actually what's sort of put me onto this path now is because I didn't understand why the tech bubble happened. And of course, now I understand it's money printing and Alan Greenspan and all that sort of stuff. So this is what you do. We were talking about this off the air for people out there. A lot of people talk and talk and talk, but they never do anything. You shouldn't talk too adamantly about anything you haven't done before. Once you get out there, you realize there's things you don't know, and that's one way to learn.
Yeah, we're talking about a friend who has been adamantly anti intellectual property to the point of just like screeching against it, and then started a company that is based on intellectual property, and it's kind of funny. I've been pretty anti IP laws for about 10 years now, since before I was a libertarian. Based on the fact that I have made my living making media my whole life and working for, you know, giant corporations that pay me advances and then they own the copyright on things. You know, it's kind of like I was also on a major label and dropped from the major label after doing one record. And most punk rockers who say major labels are horrible have never been on one and probably would jump at the opportunity. Jumped at the opportunity. And what I walked away from with it is the experience of being able to say, major labels are horrible. All right, we'll be back with more with Jeff Berwick. Jeff Berwick after this trip to the free market on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. but they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and we're talking to Jeff Berwick. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, and I are talking to Jeff Berwick about investing and expatting, and we're getting a lot of stuff here. I think we're going to have him back a different day, but, you know, because on the Freedom Fiends, too, like, it's not just an interview, and that kind of irritates people, because I talk, too, and Jeff was talking about, I just want to hear the other guy.
You should just shut up, Michael.
I should just shut up, but I'm not going to. I was going to say, I actually had a worm's eye view of the .com thing, too, because I was living in San Francisco, and in 97 and 98, I was, for about 2 years, I was working, making between 30 and 40 bucks an hour, being like the lowest paid guy other than the janitor at a few different .coms, you know, coming and going when I wanted to, working 8 hours a day with my feet up on the table, dressed like a slob, like writing ad copy and things like, you know, synopses of catalogs for companies that had ridiculous business plans, like, we'll start this site where we'll get paper catalogs of every company that has a catalog, and you can sign up and you can click whatever ones you want and they'll be sent to you free. And it's like, Amazon killed that. You know, Amazon got popular and just killed that business plan. But, you know, a lot of these companies had like second and third rounds of venture capital and had like, you know, 180 employees, and I was making 40 bucks an hour, and I was the lowest paid guy there. Just bleeding money, man. Like South of Market, worked in like, you know, three or four different places South of Market, and it was about the best job I've ever had working for somebody else. But all those companies are 404, and all of their websites say this domain for sale, you know, now.
Oh, I can tell you some stories because I was around and I was competing in that market at the time. There was sites like bingo.com, and you could play bingo on it, and it had like $100 million valuation. It was crazy. And to your point about the costs, a lot of people don't understand. Again, like I said, you have to do these things to kind of understand. In that market, it was so almost impossible to hire anyone who even knew anything about the internet that they were, you'd have to pay them like $40 an hour, $80 an hour. And it was just some person who knew how to use a browser. Crazy.
Yeah, I was going through a temp agency that dealt with that kind of stuff. And there was one where it was like, they wanted to send me on a job where you had to know, like, you know, C# programming. And I was like, I don't know that. And they're like, just take the job and just go home and Google it and learn it overnight. And like,
well, there was no Google back then, but yeah,
you know, just go figure it out. Yeah. Yahoo it. Yeah, exactly. Yep. So what other, I don't want to really say what advice do you have for people investing, because, and somebody looking at whatever I'm going to put on the show notes of this is probably the dumb people are going to feel like it's bait and switch. They're going to be looking for actual stock ticker, you know, recommendations, which, as you say, is not the way to go. Basically, what you're giving is a whole new kind of paradigm of how to picture what the flow of money in and out of your wallet. So give me a little bit more pep talk on that.
Sure, I'll try to pep you up a little bit.
It's more useful than stock ticker suggestions.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, I think I said that earlier, was for people who are just listening, like, oh, give me a symbol and I'll put my money into it. No, don't do that. You have to learn these things. Now, I do actually give in our newsletter specific advice and sometimes stock ticker symbols, but you shouldn't be just like, I don't know anything about this and I trust this person, I'm going to do it. No, never do that. First of all, the whole, like I said, the investment is in learning. The real wealth that you get from any of these things is in the process, in the learning process. If you get to the point where you kind of do understand what's going on, great. Then you can kind of sort of, I do the same. I pick a few people that I kind of think know more than me and listen to them. But until you get to that point, don't be listening to your radio and going, oh, if he says a ticker symbol, I'm going to put my money into it. No, never do that.
Yeah. And there's one that I would not invest in, and I saw an ad for on some business news channel the other day, was I think it was DRNE. It was a company that makes drones. Like, I don't want to invest
seems
in
like,
that.
Seems like a rising business, but yeah, I don't like industry. To invest.
Yeah, invest in your enslavement with high returns was somebody's comment.
Well, that's what treasury bills are. Yeah. Whenever I see someone go, oh, I just bought some treasury bills, it's like, so you're supporting the largest terrorist organization on the planet. So they don't see it that way.
Yeah, Davi Barker pointed out too, like a lot of Americans who, you know, don't want to buy anything made in China should stop using U.S. money because it's literally backed with Chinese debt. So it is a product made in China.
Yeah, it's actually U.S. debt that the Chinese actually have capital and invest in. Yeah, you're right.
That's what I meant. But yeah, I'm not as smart as you are. So let's talk about expatting for the rest of the thing. You know, if you don't love Canada, get out. And you got out. So we'll talk about that when we get back from selling some things to y'all that you may... products and or services you may wish to purchase or not, because it's a free market and there's no government gun to your head on the Freedom Fiends. Worms. Ben, give me your worms.
Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hi, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. The internet has lowered the cost barrier for a worldwide radio show to a price approaching zero. Yet there is one arena where you still need thousands of dollars to approach the audio quality of the corporate media. Doing a live spoken show with more than one host in different geographic locations. Our program, Fiend Phone, will solve that problem, and it will be given away free. Go to fiendphone.com to see what you can do to help. That's FEENPHONE.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends, and that feisty little toe-tapping punk rock number going all the way back to 2010 was Right Arm of Wyoming with Would You Tar and Feather a Tax Collector? And we're talking to Jeff Berwick today from sunny Acapulco. Are you there, Jeff? Are you safe?
Yeah, well, none of us are safe, but at the same time, we shouldn't worry too much at the same time.
Okay, we got Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. You there, Ben?
I'm here, Michael.
All right, and we're talking to Jeff about investment... Not advice, but investment pep talk, which is more important than investment advice because it teaches you a mindset to make your own decisions instead of being a lot of times I think when people are giving out stock tips, they're not serving their audience. They're serving themselves. Would you say that's true, Jeff?
A lot of the times, yes.
Yeah.
There is a few people, including ourselves, we do it for our subscribers. But yeah, you have to be very careful, especially if it's for free.
Yep.
there's usually an ulterior motive.
And speaking of for free, we were doing some actual wheeling and dealing during the break. The Freedom Fiends, I will announce this now, we have secured we've secured the worldwide rights, non-exclusive, to broadcast Anarchapuco live on the Freedom Fiends. So we will be having a feed for at least one full show from Anarchapuco non-exclusively throughout the world when that's coming up. And when is Anarchapuco again, Jeff?
It's February 27th to March 1st. And yes, you have the non-exclusive rights to broadcast and hope to see you both down here. I think we'll have a really good time.
I won't make it, but okay. Yeah, I don't go anywhere I can't bring a gun. So I'll go to New Hampshire.
You can drive across the border with a gun, but you have to be a little careful.
No, thank you.
But we have guns here. If you just take a flight when you get here, I'll meet you at the airport. I'll give you a gun.
I think that should be, actually Ben did that for me at Porkfest. We didn't bring a gun, and I borrowed a pink revolver that belonged to his wife. He handed me it's kind of like the bad tie they give you in a good restaurant when you show up and you don't have a tie on, as a Boston Tea Party would say. So tell us about expatting, about, you know, if you don't love your country, get out. Or if you think they're going to steal too much of your money, get out. You've gotten out. What do you do? How do you do that? Where do you go?
Well, I think after leaving Canada about 10 years. Yeah, no, yeah. I give away where I was born often with whenever I say a boot. But about 11 years ago, I left Canada. And the actual best thing about expatriating is going back to where you're from and having someone go, if you don't like it, leave, and go, I did. And it's awesome.
Do people say that in Canada?
Yeah, no, they're getting very nationalistic up there. Like when I said earlier, they used to be almost communist, and now they're getting more capitalist, but it's still very socialist. Because the Canadian dollar has risen so much, because it's actually doing better than the U.S., it's the same thing has taken hold up there. Like 20 years ago when you went to a hockey game, which is very normal in Canada, that's what you do because it's too cold to go outside and hockey's great to watch. And no one would ever even stand for the national anthem. They just drink their beer and joke around. And now they yell out the national anthem. It's just wow. Disgusting.
Yeah.
So I turn on, I mute my, I still watch hockey. I love hockey. You know, everyone's got their little thing from their childhood that
pleasure.
They just love. Yeah, their guilty pleasure. I just have to mute the national anthem. I just can't watch it.
My guilty pleasure is watching cop shows, which is probably more guilty than watching hockey. So, okay, top five countries to go to for more economic and personal freedom.
That's a tough one, but there is definitely, I'd say almost anything outside of the U.S. is better, except for North Korea and Cuba and maybe Belarus.
I actually have a friend who lives in China, who grew up in America, who married a woman from China and has lived there for 6 or 7 years, and he loves it. And he's a total, leave me alone kind of guy. That's mind-blowing to me.
China is way more free than the U.S. right now. There's actually some cities and states in China that are completely anarchistic. There's no government at all, and they're booming like crazy, of course. If you like freedom and you have to choose between China and the U.S., it's an easy choice, China. It's very little government involvement. There's hardly any police. The police you do see, they're kind of just joking around and playing cards, just like here in Mexico. And for that reason, that's why China's doing so well. And that's why the U.S. is really just going downhill so fast, is because there's just every day more and more government, more centralization of power, more police, more regulations, more taxes. The U.S. Has the highest corporate tax, income tax, in the world. Crazy. And a lot of people still don't see it because they built up so much wealth when it was freer over the last few hundred years. And a lot of people still haven't woken up. But those people who haven't woken up are going to wake up very soon and realize what's been happening.
Now, could I do the radio show I'm doing from most other countries, or would I be thrown in prison for it?
Well, I'm in Mexico. It's amazing how free it is. There's actually a law that they actually adhere to. Police aren't allowed to come onto your property ever. And if you want a warrant here in Mexico, it's weeks. And they really respect that. And wow. So I really sit here in my house and don't worry at all, ever. Like, I've never even seen a police car in our neighborhood. I don't think they're allowed to come in here because it's sort of like a private property neighborhood.
A gated community without the gates?
Well, there actually is a gate, that's good, right?
Yeah.
Protection, self-defense. You have a good point, though. If you were in China and you were just totally criticizing the Chinese government all day, every day, you probably would get thrown in jail. In the U.S., though, it's actually gone beyond that, to the point where the U.S. government is so powerful that they don't even care if you criticize it, because they know they're just going to keep doing what they're doing and you can't stop them.
That's the weird thing about free speech now, because it's pretty bizarre to me. I mean, you've got all these right-wing shows on radio criticizing Obama, and I wholeheartedly agree with them, but I disagree when they start saying that, you know, Mitt Romney is the answer to Obama. But then you've got two syndicated shows, Free Talk Live, who are on 165 stations, and the Freedom Fiends, who are like the little brother of that show that started much later, and we're on 26 stations. And we are basically, you know, on the radio 7 days a week. We've got 26 affiliates, and we're reaching, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, and we're saying all government is corrupt. You can't fix the government. It's horrible. It's stupid. Now, literally, like, that kind of talk throughout most of the history of America would have gotten you jailed. I mean, you know, Thomas Jefferson threw people in jail under the Patriot and Sedition Act, the Sedition Act, for criticizing him. You know, some other president, early founding father, threw someone in jail for calling him fat in a newspaper. you know, during World War II, you absolutely would have gotten your door kicked in for saying all government is immoral, for being anti-war. They jailed people for being anti-war during World War I and World War II. And it's this weird little window where you can be on government-controlled radio and not just criticize the government, but all governments. And, you know, I haven't had my door kicked in yet, but and I don't think I'm going to get my door kicked in for it. I think they're just going to – I think President Hillary is going to say – you know, and it's not even going to be, we need to get rid of free speech. It's going to be, oh, local radio must serve the community. And they're going to replace our show with, like, school children talking about how taxes help pay for roads.
Yeah, it's a bizarre to watch. There is this veneer of free speech in the U.S. still. However, you look at the press index of the world, Freedom Press Index, the most free places where you can talk. The U.S. is currently 46, I believe, and right ahead of it is Haiti, and right behind is Zimbabwe. So you know, like when you watch the mainstream media, that's all controlled propaganda. CNN, CNBC, which just today hit a 21-year low in terms of ratings. MSNBC, like I think there's five people watching it, and it's probably like family members. CNN, Larry King left, and he went to Russia Today, the Russia propaganda channel, which is way better.
It's run by the Kremlin, and it's got more truth in it than most mainstream U.S. stuff, yeah.
Yeah, it's a very funny time. But at the same time, you there in, I think, Wyoming, right?
Yeah.
Are sitting there and saying whatever you want, and you haven't been killed yet. so that's good. But like I said, I think the power of the federal government is so strong now that they don't care. We're still not reaching very many people. What would you say is the amount of people who really understand what we're talking about in the U.S.? It's probably 10 million or less.
1% probably.
Yeah, so that's like 3 million.
10%, yeah.
Yeah. So when we get up to around 20% or even 30%, there's going to be something happen. They're either going to have to go away or there's going to be some sort of a revolution of some sort. And I don't think it's going to have to be violent. I think we have the technology today to just move on from this system that doesn't work anymore and just move on.
Upload ourselves to the blockchain. Yeah, I've seen something I like a lot is a meme that goes around that says World War One, and it's got a picture of a Gatling gun, and then World War Two, and it's got a picture of an M1 Grand Rifle, and it says World War Three, and it's got a video camera.
Yeah, oh, totally. This is changing everything. Live streaming, I was watching the Ferguson riots, mostly just police occupation of Ferguson.
Yeah.
And there was like 10 or 20, I think, was it you? No, I don't think it was you. It was someone else was sending me all these live streams. And there's actually, I was watching one, and it was funny because there was like 1,000 cops there, all in SWAT gear and tanks and grenade launchers and all that kind of stuff. And this one live stream, this journalist, independent journalist, was saying, you know, there's really no one here except for cops and journalists, and there's maybe a couple protesters.
Yeah.
That's where it's getting to right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I like rifles. I own rifles. I'm a fan of rifles. But I think that looking at rifles as the solution is a very grandpa's guns kind of like, you know, living in the past solution. Because in 1775, rifled long gun was the cutting edge of technology. It was pretty much the most advanced technology there was. And it's not anymore, man.
Yeah, I guess if you were to sort of bring it back to 1775 or whatever around that time, it would be the equivalent of if you then owned drones, spy planes, stealth aircraft. The federal government at this point is so over-armamented compared to the population that a lot of the people who are still, oh, if they take my guns, they're going to have to take it from my cold, dead hands. No, they will, and they are. And there's nothing that anyone can do to stop it physically or violently anymore. But the really great news is you can actually stop it by putting down your gun. Don't get rid of your guns, but you don't have to use your gun. Just put up a video camera, and that changes a lot.
Yep, and pretty soon they won't even have a Ruby Ridge to take your guns. They'll just send robots in to take your guns or pull you over on the way to the dentist with a robot and take your guns. And that's not science fiction. That's here, man. We'll be back with the redemption in the third act.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Freedom Fiends.
Worms.
Michael W. Dean. I'm Ben Stone. With us is Jeff Berwick, coming to you from Mexico live. Jeff, we only have a couple minutes here left on this show. We talked a little bit about China and a little bit about Mexico. Can you name any other countries that would be a good idea to get out of the U.S. and get to?
Yeah, almost like I said earlier, almost any country. But there's a few that I really think there's huge opportunities right now. One, if you like Asia, Cambodia. Just if you're younger and you're just looking for opportunities, just go there. You're going to find them. If you're looking more at Latin America, I really like Nicaragua. There's something about it that just rings good for me on in terms of opportunity. Chile is great, but it's a little status still. There's opportunities all over the place. Argentina, I think once the peso collapses, there's going to be, again, it happens every 10 years, there's going to be huge opportunities. So it's really just a matter of picking your personal preference. If you like more European or colder climates, for whatever reason, I don't understand. I'm from Canada, but countries in Eastern Europe, the old Soviet satellite states like Estonia or Latvia, have a lot of opportunity. However, with what's going on with Ukraine right now, I'm not sure what's going to happen there. But yeah, Africa in general, if you want to really take a chance, tons of opportunities over there. Yeah, there's a whole wide world of opportunity.
What about Czech Republic?
I like Czech Republic a lot. I was just there in Prague probably 8-9 months ago. There's something about that place that I really like. It's very free market, and there's a lot of opportunity. There's so much business going on right now. Czech Republic is sort of like the Mexico of Europe in terms that a lot of companies are moving there because there's very low tax, low regulation, and tons of opportunity.
I was there in 94, and I really – no, 2004, and I really dug it. And I don't know if this would apply to a resident alien there, but I know that citizens there, it's one of the few countries in Europe where you can get a concealed carry permit fairly easily and carry a gun outside of your house.
Oh, I didn't know that. But yeah, I was in Germany last Christmas, and near the Czech Republic border, which isn't a border anymore, which is good. But the whole EU thing is a disaster. But yeah, all the people from Germany go to Czech Republic to get anything they want because it's too expensive in Germany or too overregulated or too taxed. And yeah, no, I think there's I would definitely recommend for someone who likes that sort of area, Czech Republic for sure.
Prague's a party.
And as well, right across the river, I guess, or border, I guess, is Slovakia, which also has a ton of opportunity.
Prague's a party town, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can tell you some stories.
The absinthe fills the streets there. So, little couple more minutes here on expatting in general, kind of pep talk. You know, to anybody who's like, I love America. I was born here. I'm going to die here. I'm going to dig in and fight the tyranny. What do you have advice for those people?
Well, I think they should look in the mirror and really question themselves if that's what they really believe, because I don't think many people do. I just responded to someone on Facebook today I was writing. I don't want to open my browser to crash my computer, but I said something like, if you're older than 14 and you're not a quadriplegic and you haven't been further away from where you're born than 1,000 miles, then wake up. And I really meant that. And actually, I was quoting Mark Twain, who said that you don't really know the world until you get out and see it. And one person wrote back from the USSA, and he said, oh, I've got all the student loan debt. I'm broke. There's no way I can do it. And I told him to look up James Holman, who's called the Blind Traveler, who around 1800 was blind, mostly crippled, and traveled more than anyone in history, including Marco Polo and all those sort of people. He's been to more places than I think I've been, all just walking and on trains and steamships and, you know, there's no excuse if you really want to get out there and do it. And you really don't need a lot of money at all. You can just make it up on the way. That's one of the things that Americans don't understand, is they think, oh, I need a work permit or something. No, the rest of the world isn't like that.
Should Americans who don't have a passport get a passport real quick?
Yes. Unfortunately, we need a permission to travel still in this world. And so get one or more than one.
Get it now while you can.
It's like get to the dollar vigilante to find out how.
Yep. Thank you, Jeff Berwick. It's been very enlightening and elucidating to have you on here. We'll have you back again.
Thank you, guys.
Worms.
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 Worms.